This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. On Marketplace, we like to say there's a money story hidden under anything. Certainly famous songs. There's a new podcast called Lost Notes that explores these backstories. My ex-colleague, reporter David Weinberg, took on that one as the first of the podcast series.
That is the version that was recorded by the Kingsmen in 1963. It's the one that was the most popular.
But not the original version.
No, it's not the original. The original was written by a guy named Richard Berry, who's from Los Angeles. He wrote in the 50s, and it's a very different song that he wrote. It's based on a Latin cha-cha that he heard while he was backstage at a show, and he turned that into this song, Louie Louie, which had sort of had a strange life on its own and became this hit song through a series of bizarre accidents.
So sure enough, the black guy's version isn't the monster hit. It's the white guys from Portland, Oregon, who have the monster hit some years later, the Louie Louie we all hear.
That's right. It's not an uncommon story in the history of music, especially rock and roll. What's even crazier about it is that their version is really quite terrible. It's a really bad recording, like famously bad. I mean, Louie Louie became a very popular anthem in the Pacific Northwest, and so every band was recording it in the early 60s. And if you were to rank the quality of those recordings, I would put the Kingsmen's version at the very bottom of that list. They were teenagers. They didn't know what they were doing. The lead singer was singing into the wrong part of the microphone. He had braces. He comes in too early on a verse. At another point in the song, the drummer drops his drumsticks and yells an F-bomb in the middle of the song, and all that gets recorded. And so you would expect for them to do another take, but this record producer, the guy who was running the session and paying for it, was a cheapskate, and so he said, that's it, we're done. Let's just, on to the next song.
Wait. That was done in one take?
One take, yeah. And they screwed it all up. I mean, it was a huge disaster of a recording, but it ends up being this huge hit.
Yeah, I mean, you could say it's ramshackle. Maybe it's early grunge, 30 years ahead of its time in its own way. But how does it break out of the Pacific Northwest?
That is another crazy story. This radio DJ in Boston named Arnie Woo Woo Ginsburg, he has this segment every week called The Worst Record of the Week. And he picks this song out and he puts it on and plays it and calls it The Worst Record of the Week. And people love it. I mean, it becomes this hit. And when it becomes a hit nationwide, and because the lyrics are so unintelligible and you can't understand what they're saying, all these kids get it in their head that the lyrics are dirty, that they're about sex. And so they write down what they think of the dirty lyrics. They pass them around. And eventually, their parents start finding these lyrics and start complaining to their elected officials. The governor of Indiana steps in. He gets himself a copy of the record. He plays it at a low speed and claims, this is a quote, that his ears tingled because the lyrics were so filthy. And he bans it. And, you know, when you ban something, it's like the best advertising you can get. That record ends up selling millions and millions of copies. It becomes a hit for two summers, which is unheard of, and it just flies off the shelf as a result of that censorship.
Here I was thinking it was a sailor's lament. Me sailed the ship all alone. Me never think I'll make it home. But some people thought if you slowed the 45 down to 33 RPM, that's when the dirtiness came out?
Yeah, and ultimately, it works its way up to Hoover at the FBI at the time, and he launches this FBI investigation the last 18 months. He's got all these FBI agents listening to Louie Louie at different speeds, trying to hear these supposed dirty lyrics. They send a couple agents to follow the Kingsmen on their tour and watch them play the song. And ultimately, the crazy thing is that ultimately the FBI's conclusion is that they don't even know what they're saying. They're like, we just can't figure it out. And they never even catch that there's an F-bomb in the middle of the song. So after all of that, it turns out it is, in its own way, a dirty song. It may be one of the only hit songs to get played continuously with an F-bomb in it that I'm aware of.
So wait, this is a money story. Heaven knows what the FBI paid to try to investigate this thing.
Oh, my God. Definitely way more than the man who wrote the song got paid for it. I can tell you that.
But the irony is that even though the lyrics look tame, if you can decipher them, somebody does in fact swear, and that is intelligible if you know where to look?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's an F-bomb right in the song if you listen for it.
Well, I want to get back to Richard Berry, who wrote this song and had a small hit with it in the 1950s in that other version.
Yeah. He fell in love with this singer named Dorothy. They wanted to get married. He wanted to get her an engagement ring. And, you know, Louie Louie was a small hit for him. Even in his lifetime, it was a regional hit. So it did very well on the West Coast. But then it just, you know, it died out. And so his thinking was, look, I made all the money I was going to make off this song. This guy is offering me $750, which is a decent amount of money at the time. And so he sold basically the rights to a handful of his songs, including Louie Louie, for $750 to buy this ring. And, you know, there's no way he could have known that it would have gone on to become this massive hit and generate millions and millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars for who? The King's Men? I know enough about the music industry to think perhaps not.
There was a lot of people that made money off that song, including Max Feartag, the man who owned the rights to it. It had all these resurgences. So, a lot of people, when you say Louie Louie, they think of Animal House, which came out, you know, years and years after it was a hit. And that sort of brought it back to life. And then there was a wine cooler company that wanted to use it in ads. And it just became one of those easily recognizable songs that it got a lot of licensing deals and made a lot of money for a lot of people. I mean, the Kingsmen made some money off their tour, but they also were not getting rich off of Louie Louie.
All right. We need to inflate that, though. $750 in the early 60s in today's money, 2018, $6,280. So not nothing.
Yeah, no. He fought to get that and thought he had done really well. He didn't know what was about to happen to that song.
Lost Notes, a new podcast from KCRW about some of the stories behind some of the greatest music. David Weinberg is a reporter at KCRW. David, thank you.
Thank you, David. Fine little girl, she wait for me. Me catch the ship across the sea. I sail the ship.